it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked a dear brother of mine to come on the program today. And, well, without further ado, I want to welcome Pastor Butch Paul. Butch, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Well, thank you. It's always fun with you, Jerry. You and I really get along really good. We'd have a blast for more than 1 hour if we had time. We could do a lot more than 1 hour talking back and forth. So you're a fun guy to be with, but we cover a lot of serious things. We get a lot of laughs together, but still we're in a serious, serious situation in our country, around the world. But I live in America, and America is going down the tubes quicker every day. I don't care what anybody says; it's happening on our watch.
That's a sad state of affairs, Butch. Because what are we leaving for our kids, our grandkids, and our great grandkids?
I agree. I totally agree.
You know, we've got members of Congress that, well, some of the rumors are that some of them are taking payola from the dictator in Venezuela. And then we got our own pseudo dictator that's talking about invading Venezuela and maybe Colombia. And just, we've got, what, taxes going through the roof. People can't afford to eat because all the food costs so much. We got people dying because they were forced to take the jab. The leadership in D.C. is weighed and found wanting, isn't it?
Oh, my. Well, yes, it is. It more than it. The Psalms 9:17 fits this. It says all nations forget God turned into hell. And there's, my mind go blank on the guy's name. The great reformer. From the Catholic Church, what's his name?
I can see his face.
Yeah, I can too. Anyway, he said that when God wants to judge nations, he gives them wicked rulers. Well, that's where we are. We've got what we deserve. For many, many years, I'm guilty. I voted for the lesser of evils. And every time you vote for a lesser of evil than it was in the last time, you get worse evil. So I don't know. I don't know what to say except, we are in up to our eyeballs in pure insanity.
You know, voting for the lesser of two evils is still voting for an evil.
Yes, it is. A little leaven left the whole lump.
That's a fact. In my lifetime, I don't know that have we had good leadership, Butch? I'm only 63, but.
Well, you're still a kid. I understand.
I know. That's why I said I'm only. But, you know, my first chance to vote was 1980, and I voted for John Anderson and not Ronald Reagan, because I thought Anderson had he was running as an independent. I thought he had a more America first kind of message, and that's why I voted for him.
Right.
But, you know, did Reaganomics help us? Reagan probably had a pretty good group of people that surrounded him that helped this country along. But then we get Slick Willie and the Bushes and the Shrub. And then we got Obama, and now we've got Trump. And I'm at a loss, Butch, because on top of that, and everybody seems to think that the president is the end all be all, but the members of Congress are just as evil.
And yes.
We keep putting them in.
Yes. I agree. Well, this is, I'm 77, 14 years on you, so I got at least two administrations under my belt before you were born. But I look back over the ones I can remember, and I can remember back all the way back to Eisenhower. I was just a young'un then. But each administration, every administration has taken us further than the road to slavery and tyranny. I don't care what anybody says. George Bush Jr., I guess you could say, when he was elected, 9/11 happened when he was in office. He's supposed to be a Christian conservative. 9/11 took us into a far greater form of tyranny than ever before. And the people, and I'm saying this because Jeremiah said it, the people love to have it so because they'd rather feel safer than they would have freedom. And that's just that easy. People don't like it, but I can't help it. It is what it is. So now we're reaping what we've sown. Trump has taken illegal immigration. And I agree with the point of getting rid of illegal immigrants, but he's cracking down on American people as overall. So we are absolutely in a mess up to our eyeballs because every time they say they're doing something to help us, they end up causing more damage to what's left of our constitutional liberties. Trump is ruling by executive order. He just signed an executive order that said states cannot resist AI. That makes him a dictator. Executive orders are not laws. We don't have to obey them according to our Constitution or even God's laws. But we do because we want to feel safe.
You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn had a saying that resonates more and more every day. And he was talking about the Bolshevik takeover of Russia and the dictatorship that ensued. He said, we didn't love freedom enough.
That's it. By the way, the Christian leader that made the phrase that the leaders we deserve was Martin Luther. There, I got it. I knew it sooner or later. Anyway, Martin Luther was his name. But we are living in a time of judgment on America. The sad part is people don't understand it. A few may, but the masses don't. And the churches are not concerned. They're waiting for the rapture. So why should they worry about it? This is what we have in America today. We've lost it because we've lost our spiritual backbone, our determination to live as men as God has wanted us to, and we turn our back upon our founding fathers, the Pilgrims and Puritans, and what they had in desire for this country. We turn our back on them, turn back to man to help us, and that's where we are.
Amen. That's succinct. Okay, that's the end of the show. Thanks, Butch. No.
That didn't take long.
No, it didn't. But it doesn't take long when you get right to the root of the problem.
And no, it doesn't.
It all goes back to the church. When we had a biblical foundation and we stood on his holy word, we didn't have near the problems we got now. Now we've had calamities in this country. But nothing that we couldn't get past. But today, when you've got rampant homosexuals and transgenders and lesbians in the pulpit, and they're supposed to be leading the flock, how do you reconcile that with the Bible? You can't.
You can't do it.
And that's why we are in such a dire strait. And you know, I understand that the Bible tells us that we're supposed to trust our leadership, but how many of these leaders were actually voted into office, or how many were just foisted upon us, Butch?
Well, people don't like to hear this, and I don't like myself, but it doesn't change the fact. We have been given we don't have an election, we have a selection. They select two that they will allow to be voted for. They select the two. We don't. We think we do, but we don't. They put the ones they want up in the front of the cameras. The rest they push back. They don't want them in front of the camera. They won't be there. If they could be, then people that run like the Constitution Party perhaps could get a lot more publicity and maybe make a bigger dent in this. But they're not allowed to debate the rest of them. They won't show them win the debate. They make them all Republicans and Democrats. You can't go in there as a Constitution Party member and debate the other two candidates. They won't let you do that. So the control is they are selecting which one we get a vote for. We can vote for one or two of them. We have two choices. But both of them are handled by them, including Trump. Trump is a sellout big time. He's controlled by the Zionists big time. I don't care what anybody says. I can't help it. He's one of their heroes. That's where we are. You said we've come through some bad times in the past. We have, Jerry. We come together. We come out of it as Americans with a common culture in mind. We come out of it not as black Americans, white Americans, Hispanic Americans. We came out as Americans. We were under the American idea of culture and what's right and wrong. We accepted the laws of America as far as the moral law. We knew that murder and rape and pillaging and all the other things were against the laws of the Constitution, against the laws of the land, but also against the laws of God. So we pulled together as the people with a common cause. We've lost that. This month's magazine I'm putting out, you'll get a copy of email, I'm sure, which is entitled, it's a special edition, America Invaded, Divided, and Conquered. That's who we are. We've been divided into many factions now. We've lost our nation. We lost our culture. Our culture. We become a multicultural society, which cannot, never has, and never will stand together. We're not united any longer. No longer united at all. We tolerate so much among us that's ungodly. To go along, get along, we've destroyed our future for our children. So America is no longer what it was to be. When I grew up in a little town called Montreville, West Virginia, we had people there named Paul, obviously. We had Heights, Panakovich, we had Walmsley's, we had, I'm trying to think of names there, that Hams, Bartlett's, and Logers, all different backgrounds of people. But we were a community with common ideas that morality was the basis for our living. We never locked your doors. We never locked your doors at nights at all. Dad would latch the screen door so wind would blow it open, the wind blowing. But we never locked your doors. We never locked your cars. I mean, our community was a community. We worked together. We played with neighbors up the hill with the neighbor boys until dark, until mom said it's time to come home for supper. These were things that were common. We went down to a local grade school where I went to school, probably about a half mile where we walked down there. We used to walk school every day. Walked in there with adults and the children would play ball together on Sunday afternoons. Something's happened to our country, Jerry. We've lost our common core, our common denominator of morality and what's right. Whether they were Christian or not, people didn't want, they knew murder and the stealing was wrong. They didn't do it. You have to lock it. You have to lock your door. We weren't afraid to go out at night. We didn't have any streets. We grew up in the country. We weren't afraid to go ride a bicycle somewhere. No one bothered us. So we lost our common denominator of a culture that agrees that morality is the right thing to do. We lost that, so we lost our country.
That's a fact. You know, growing up, going to school, we were taught that America was a great melting pot. And at that time, yes, it was, because
yes,
we had, and I'm, Butch, I'm not going to lie, I like to eat. So I am thankful that Italians came here. I like Mexican food, so I'm glad we got Mexicans up here. I like soul food, so I'm glad we got some African Americans up in here. But we all assimilated. That was what everybody did. It wasn't forced. You came here because you wanted to be here.
You came here to assimilate.
Yes.
To come together with one mind and one idea. That was what you did. Today, they don't want to assimilate. They want to be independent and be a different culture inside the culture. It won't last. It can't last.
It cannot.
So that's where we are. I mean, today we have assimilation is no longer what people are looking for. They want everyone to be, well, in Dearborn, Michigan, they have prayer five times a day, bowing and looking to the east to worship Allah. And that's going in their schools and things. Christians are no longer tolerated in Dearborn, Michigan. They don't want Christians there, period. Dearborn Heights, Michigan, on a cop's patch on a uniform, it's written in Arabic and English.
Yeah, they want you to assimilate to their religion, culture.
And they've been coming here to do it peacefully. They can be doing it by force. They've been coming here for years. This is anything new. But, you know, this all changed in 1965 when this all started. In 1965, they changed immigration laws to allow these people in. Up until then, everyone was not allowed in this country. I know everybody wants to believe, but they had to be somewhat of a common culture, like you said, Italians, different people. They had to at least have a Christian background with the idea they're going to come in and live by our laws and become part of the community and where we can live together. But that is not what we have today. 1965, they still allowed anybody in, from any culture, any religion. And now we're in a mess. And now we have people coming out. Literally, the Muslims come out and say, "You made a mistake. You let us in. Let the first one in. We're going to take every country." And they're doing it. Minnesota also. Now they're in Plano, Texas. Yeah. They're everywhere.
Bit by bit, they will come in. And what Obama brought in all those Somalis? Just they're refugees. So he had carte blanche to bring in as many as he wanted to.
Yes, he did.
and he parks them in different spots. And what happens? They build a mosque. They build schools, madrasas for their children. And then they start running for city council. Then they run for mayor. Then they get appointed in all the different boroughs and bureaus throughout the area. And the next thing you know, they're running for state office. Well, when you bring in
and federal office,
you bring in 80,000 at one time and they all vote Abdul
That's
Muhammad.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden he's in the state. And then, well, no, I need to be in the federal government. Boom. There you go. And it's inch by inch. And the assimilation will be everybody assimilating and converting to Islam, or you'll be beheaded. They give you two shots, and then you're an enemy.
In their own writings, what you said is true. Now, I'm not sure if I pronounce this right, but in the Shahib Bukhari, chapter 2, verse 24, it says, Allah's apostle said, I have been ordered by Allah to fight against the people until they testify that none has a right to be worshipped, that Allah and Muhammad is Allah's apostle. I've been ordered to fight against anyone that would say things differently. And now in the same book, chapter 60, verse 80, you, true Muslims, are the best of people that ever raised up for the mankind. Means the best of people is for the people. You bring them in with chains on their necks until they embrace Islam. Same book, chapter 60, verse 40 says, and fight them until there is no more affliction, i.e. no more worshiping of others than Allah. Same book, 59, verse 6, 43. Testify that none has a right to be worshipped except Allah, or else will chop off their neck. That's what you just mentioned. That's in their writing. In the Qatar, and it says, therefore, all people of the world should be called to Islam. If any one of them refuse to do so, refuse to pay the jizya, which is a tax, they should be fought till they are killed. This is their own writing. A representative from Florida, I think, said we need to deport all fundamental Muslims. All those who believe the Muslim words I just read to you be deported. And I agree. I agree. If they're not going to accept the morals and basis of the word of God, their country, what was a Christian nation, they're not going to accept that and ship them back where they come from. I totally agree with that. I have no problem with that. We cannot absorb them because they will not be absorbed.
Oil and water.
That's right. It's not going to work. And I started saying, hillbilly, it ain't going to work.
It ain't going to work. Never has, never will.
No, it can't. So we're seeing this. We have a representative in Congress and a senator, and I'm getting their names now. So I'm saying the same thing. If they're not going to assimilate, if they're not going to give up their basic Muslim faith out of their own writings, like I just read to you, if they're going to give them up, ship them back where they come from. And listen, that isn't going to go down smooth. As Dimitri Dumer prophesied back in the 80s and 90s, America's going to go to civil war. And it is. It's already started. Not too much bloodshed yet, but it's getting here. Christ said in Matthew 24 that in the last days, races shall rise against race. Nation, that word nation, Matthew 24, nation against nation, means race against race, R-A-C-E. So we're seeing it happen. It's happening right now. We're seeing the nation assimilating in that all nations come together to be a war, as prophesied. So here we go. I can't help it. When that happens, that's when Russia and other nations are going to attack us at our weakest point. When we're at our weakest point as far as being a nation, that's also prophesied. In Ezekiel 3:8 and 3:9. So we're seeing it happen, Jerry. Just as prophesied, it's frustrating, makes me angry, but encouraged me the fact that my God's words are coming true, just like He said they would.
Amen. The 1965 Immigration Act. You know, I was on your program. Oh, about a week or so ago. And we talked about this. I know you had done a program on it the week before, which is why I wanted to cover this, because I think this is something that needs to be heard. That when we, under LBJ and his, man, that scoundrel has done more damage since he left office than while he was there, but I think he knew what he was doing.
I agree.
Goodness. So he signs this law into effect, and from what I've read, because I got curious, I had to go look it up, and it was pushed by the United Nations, which is another organization that needs to be booted out of this country. So at the time, we were allowing Europeans into this country. We didn't allow Asians or other ethnicities in. So we were under pressure because we were cherry picking. Well, when the founding fathers set this nation up, they set it up so that we would cherry pick. We wanted the best of the best. We wanted the brightest. We wanted the hardest workers. We wanted smart people that would assimilate and not overtake.
And good way to put it.
And LBJ pretty much wiped everything out with this act. And then under Carter, we got the Refugee Act. And then under Biden, we got, we lost our borders and we lost our mind. But I played a clip last month from Joe Biden. It was in my secrets program and I found this, and I don't know why I went to this article, but I did. And I found Joe Biden saying, you know, we want a war on drugs. This was when he was a senator, and Bush Shrub, I think, was the president. Could have been Herbert Walker. But he said, we need to hit them where it hurts. We need to hit the drug dealers and their mansions, not just the narco boats and all this. We need to take the fight to them. Well, now that we have handcuffed our law enforcement, we have allowed all of these drug runners to roam this country free for 4 years under Biden. Now we want to undo all of these ills, and we've lost our humanity in the process, don't you think?
Oh, definitely so. Definitely so. You know, and this again happened on, I was alive then. Of course, I was a young man, a young boy. It happened on my watch, so to speak. But the people didn't pay attention because the people were too busy making a living and worrying about vacation. And I know that is, it's rough saying that. People like to hear that, but that's none of this true. May I read something to you from an article I think is written by Foster Crofty? We'll read it if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
The terrorists we invited among us. The most destructive act that began the dismantling of the United States of America began with the 1965 Immigration Reform Act. It opened America's immigration to 1.1 million legal immigrants annually. Jumped the population from 194 million in 1965 to a current 350 million. And folks, it's not the whites that are doing that. The Caucasian race is dying off quickly. But anyway, since that moment, we now endure in excess of 50 million foreign-born and another 25 million illegal foreign-born people with mostly third-world countries. The worst aspect of the act stems from the fact that Congress started importing incompatible cultures, religions, and backgrounds and civilizations. The worst of them plays out in cities like Dearborn, Michigan, where Muslims are now creating their own Islamic caliphate right here in America. If you visit Dearborn, and I did last summer, this is, you see all Arabic writing on businesses, burqa-covered women, not, they paused a minute, all Arabic writing on businesses. In English, Arabic, burqa-covered women, Sharia law being practiced, 5 calls to Allah daily over loudspeakers. Muslims with their butts up to the sky all over the streets, and mosques everywhere surrounded by walls. It's a no-go zone for Americans in America. There's no freedom for any other religion in Dearborn. Dearborn, Michigan, the 12th Congressional District, represented by Rashida Tlaib, a Palestinian Muslim, is witnessing alarming calls for the overthrow of the United States. The American empire must fall. There are individuals, both young and old, ready to sacrifice everything to see the empire dismantled. Americans are uncivilized and backward. Allah sent us to civilize them because they are the lowest form of human nature. Christians are jealous of us. Their nation is dying. This is from David J. Harris, Jr., Muslim imam in Dearborn, Michigan. Now, how much clearer can they put it?
That's pretty point blank. We're uncivilized.
I think that settles argument right there. I mean, we're going to war. If you're going to stand for what's right, you're going to have to fight for it. This is not going to go away peaceably.
No. You know, there's an old joke between an Indian or Native American, whatever you want to call them, a Muslim, and a cowboy. And the Indian, they're in a bar, and the Indian raises up a glass, and he says to my people, for once we were many, and now we are few. And the Muslim goes, to my people, for once we were few, but now we're many. And the cowboy goes, "That's because we ain't played cowboys and Muslims yet."
Oh, I would to God that were true. And people from cowboys from Texas and cowboys from West Virginia and everywhere else would say, "We've had enough. We don't want any more of it. We've had enough. We're rednecks. We're not going to tolerate any longer." But we're not going to do it because the people don't care. Or if they do care, they're afraid to say anything. You know, I don't remember who wrote this, but there comes a time that to not be in jail speaks to sure a coward. That's rough, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's rough. They murdered somewhere between 60 and 100 million babies on our watch. Do you think God's going to blame for that? In Proverbs 24, verse 11 and 12, it says he's going to blame for it. That's us. That's me and you, Jerry.
Yeah.
And others out there that call themselves Christians who do nothing about it. Oh, we'll vote them out. While we're voting, try to get them to change the laws, millions have died. In 2 Kings 24, verse 4, God said that's one sin he will not pardon. The slaying of the innocent. I didn't write it. He did. So I don't hold any hope for America because I don't hold any hope for the church having backbone. I don't.
No. You know, the thing that slays me, Butch, is all of the bleeding heart liberals, all of the liberals in the church, they say, well, we need to allow these Muslims in to assimilate with us, and they'll come around. And then something happens, and one of their homosexual buddies gets killed by a Muslim. Well, I don't know where that's coming from. What? It is an abomination to our God, to God, the God. But it's also an abomination to the Muslims, but they're not afraid to
enforce it.
Take care of it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
But we can't claim ignorance. But we do.
No, we can't. We cannot. And, you know, in some ways, they're much more moral in the sense that they enforce the moral code. A lot more than we do.
Yeah,
I give them credit for that.
Back in the day, growing up, going to the church I went to, they didn't sugarcoat it. We didn't spend all the whole sermon talking about your best life now or how much God loves you and you can do anything you want to. It's almost like the old saying with the Catholics. I come in Saturday, I give confession. Sunday, I go in and I get communion. And Sunday night to next Saturday, I go like hell.
Yeah, that's true.
That's backwards.
Yes, it is.
We're not focused on living a godly life, a biblical life. We're focused on all of the material and me. It's a me generation, and it has encompassed a lot of generations. This self-centered me.
We don't want to lose our stuff. We don't want to lose our stuff.
Yeah, our stuff. Oh, and then we get the name it, claim it, prosperity doctrine people up there talking about, oh, you just wish for it and God will grant it, blah, blah. Come on. That is not.
What?
God.
The film not get to send you their $1,000 seed money.
Oh, my goodness. I've heard, that makes me so angry when I hear, well, the reason it didn't take is because you didn't believe.
Yeah, exactly. If you're sick, you must have sinned.
It's bait and switch.
Yeah, exactly.
In the business world, we call that bait and switch, and you can get arrested and go to jail for it. But we call that business as usual with these so-called Christian leaders. It is a sad state of affairs, and the apathy of the pew sitters has fomented where we're at now. Butch, we have flown through 30 minutes. We have to take a brief pause.
Alrighty.
My guest today is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. When we come back, we're going to dive right back in. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding book written by Tex Mars entitled Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Have America's pastors gone off their rockers? Reading these outrageous true stories by Tex Mars, you will be amazed. These unbelievable pastors run our largest churches. They are seen by tens of millions on TV, yet they're preaching and doing the most horrific things, and their churches continue to grow. People everywhere are lapping it up. Surely the devil and his demons are laughing and cheering as those pastors go wild, make fools of themselves, and lead entire congregations down pathways straight to hell. This is a 256-page book, color photos, large format. We're only asking $22. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $28. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. $28 postpaid for pastors and churches gone wild. You will be flabbergasted when you see what these so-called church leaders are doing with the flock today. If you don't have a copy, get yours now. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pastor Butch Paul. Pastor Butch, welcome back.
Well, thank you, sir. This has been a blast. Our hours together about go by so quickly.
You know, I always tease Tex it was the fastest hour in radio. Because before you knew it, the hour was up. When I've been on your show, we have so much fun and we enjoy each other's company. The topics may not be something candy coated, but it's something that needs to be said and something needs to be heard. But it's always a pleasure to spend an hour with a like-minded soul who gets it, who wants to make everybody change, to make everybody better, to get back to where we were. I want you to, before we get into it, I want you to go ahead and tell everybody how to tune in and listen to your radio show and find you online.
The best way to listen is to go to PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com, and look what's on the homepage. You'll say how to listen, where to listen. You'll find all the stations are listed on there. There's a phone number there. You listen on the phone number. We're over shortwave. We're all over the internet on different places. You can even find us on Spotify and other places. On Roku, on TV, we're now there. Everywhere, if you go on to PastorButch.com and look it out, check and see where we are. There'll be a lot of places up, especially in the Northwest on ACN Network. We cover a lot of states in the Northwest, from Washington to Oregon to Utah, Idaho. We're all through there. So just look online and find out how to listen. We'd love for you to join us. And everybody's interested. We put out a monthly magazine. I think you receive it, don't you, Jerry?
I surely do.
It's called Minuteman News Magazine. Minuteman News Magazine. It's held once a month, no charge, online. We just put together one talking about what we're discussing right now with hard copy articles about how we've been invaded, how it's working, how we're losing a nation without firing a shot. It's entitled America Invaded, Divided, and Conquered. And you'll find that in special edition. You'll find about 50, 60 pages in there full of information as to how this has happened, warnings about what we need to do to stop it, if we're going to stop it, and trying to get people awake and how we were taken over in our country, literally invaded with people that come in, I just read to you, to destroy us if we don't comply to their wishes. And yet, we as Americans don't see it. We don't seem to care. But it's available if you want it. All you have to do is just call our number and tell us we want the magazine online. Give us your email address. And the number you can call is toll-free 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. Or you can email me personally at PastorButch@startmail.com. PastorButch@startmail.com is how I get on the magazine list. We'll send it to you for free along with our email blast that we send out. And all I ask you to do is, please, if you would, if you think it's worthwhile, forward them to all your contacts. That way we can reach tens and tens of thousands of people if we all work together. If you want a copy of Minuteman News, there's no charge to it online. Just email me or call us and let us know. We get you started for next year, January edition. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take over the whole program there. Gary, go ahead.
No, because what you said resonated. You know, we've told people for years, and Tex said it, if you want to make a copy of the tape or the CD, you can't sell it, but I want you to make copies and pass them out. The only way this message is going to get to enough people is with the help of our friends. So if you make a copy of this CD, or you forward Butch's email, you forward my newsletter, that's the only way people are going to be awakened to what is really going on. And that's so important to continuing your ministry, my ministry. It doesn't happen willy-nilly. It happens for a purpose, and it takes our friends taking the step forward and helping us.
Well, it's a team effort. I mean, obviously we can't even begin to scratch the surface by ourselves. If everybody would just join in, and we'll provide the magazine, we'll provide it for free, no problem. We'll do all the work putting together. We'll see if it gets out to you. All we ask you to do is share with your friends. If everybody you can, share with all you can, as quickly as you can, to get the word out. Maybe we can't stop it. Maybe we're not going to stop it. But by golly, we need to be informed that we won't be deceived ourselves. So please, just email us or call us and tell one on the magazine list. You'll be started on it the middle, but well, maybe sometime after the second week next month, because holidays coming up. It'll slow down some. But we will get you on it. Just let us know. We'd be honored for you to join us.
I know that there have been a number of articles that I've gotten from your magazine that have sparked an interest in me. And well, I'm going to throw you under the bus, but it caused me to go down a multitude of rabbit holes, and it's all your fault.
Sorry about that.
But you get me thinking, and then the questions start, and then I got to find answers. And honestly, if everybody did that, you don't have to have a radio show. You don't have to have a newsletter. If you read something that causes you to ponder and go, well, why did this happen? Or how did this happen? And then you start digging in that wall yourself. Pretty soon you're going to get on the other side and go, oh, I need to share this with people. And all of a sudden you're the neighborhood kook because you know something. But you're not the kook. You're the truth teller. And that is what is so important.
I agree. Totally agree with that. But we're in a nation that seems like they've kind of forgotten the idea that somebody once said freedom is not free. America was not born and brought into existence by a bunch of panty-waisted cowards. They were brought into existence because they had men who were willing to stand for what's right. And that's why we're lacking today. We're lacking men. We have a lot of males running around, mistakes with zippers, but very few men.
Very few men. Well, we've become metrosexuals. We have to get manis and petties and wear skinny jeans and man buns. Yeah. And we have no substance.
No, we don't.
We are just a vapor.
I agree.
And you know, this is something that I've lamented back and forth with Pastor Chuck Baldwin. The fact that the amount of churches that we have in this nation, the reach that the pastorate used to have, we could have saved our nation decades ago But we allowed Satan to get in the seminaries, and we allowed lukewarm men to get in charge of teaching future pastors. It's not, many of them aren't called, Butch. They're not called to this job. They just see it as a,
they're paid well.
That's right. They see it as a way to make money. And before the break, we talked about that name it, claim it. You know, I can't think of a better name for somebody who has fleeced millions than a guy with a last name a dollar.
Yeah, good point.
And I was talking with Sandra the other day. I mentioned something about Benny Hinn, and she said, well, Benny Hinn has repented and said that he was wrong. I said, that leopard hasn't changed spots.
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't.
Anything he can do to make a buck. Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Jesse DePlantis, the whole lot. We have, and let's go back to the king, Billy Graham. What a waste of a great opportunity. Because all of these men have such a platform that they could actually preach the true word of God. But instead, they wanted to enrich themselves.
Well, Billy Graham was a Mason and supported by the Masons and the Zionists, by the way, also.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fact. You mentioned Benny Hinn. Well, he and Trump's pastor, Paula White, have had an affair going on for a while. So these are things that, I don't know. I don't understand how the conscience can be so seared, Brother Jerry, that they can go out and do those things and get in front of the camera in front of millions of people and still say they're Christians. I don't know how to do that. My conscience would drive me insane. I couldn't do that. I don't understand that. There's something wrong inside them that they can do that with a straight face and still fleece the flock, so to speak, and get by with it. And the people would love to have it so, it seems like. That's a sure sign they're not born again. You know, you and I, because we believe in God and trying to live righteous, been born again, our conscience would drive us insane if we did that to people. It doesn't bother them because they're not born again people. They're of the world. They serve their master. They serve their master, the devil. That's just all there is to it.
Ye are of your father, and his works you will do. Goodness.
That's right.
Wow. Now I'm getting aggravated, Butch.
Oh, I understand that feeling. I really do. I try to be calm, but I get a lot of kickback because I don't point punches. I can't. When I say things, I'm talking to myself too. I'm as guilty as anybody else. I'm 77 years old, and I've sat back. Maybe I've talked about it, and I've tried to expose some of it, but I didn't get loud enough and strong enough. And that's where we want to say something, but we don't want to get involved. You know, a friend of mine by radio, Jake Lang. You ever heard Jake Lang?
I've heard the name.
He was one of the January 6ers arrested in 2021. It's been 4 years in jail. But anyway, and in my mind, that was a waste because that election didn't matter anyway. But he went to jail 4 years. So far, he was right. He went to Dearborn, Michigan last month with a protest on the streets of Dearborn, Michigan with the crown in his hand and a piece of bacon. He said, that's awful. No, it's not awful. I just read you that they come to kill us if they have to take over. It's not off to oppose that. The Dearborn cops are mostly Muslim. They will not defend them. So they're calling cops from outside to come in and protect them from the crowds. They just went down to Plano, Texas on the 13th. I don't know what happened there. I haven't heard yet. They're going to Minnesota next month to do the same thing. These men may seem radical, but they're on the streets trying to take back our country from another culture that's anti-American. And I applaud them for that. I really do. We have said back, well, we don't believe we should do it that way. How do you want to do it? Like you have been for the last 50 years?
Exactly.
Let them destroy us, take our children into a culture that's full of demonic activity. And when I say that, I mean they're worshiping a false god. That's demonic. So don't give me this, well, we shouldn't do it that way. If somebody's raping my wife, I got one way to stop them. That's bull between the eyes. I ain't going to pray for them. I ain't going to witness to them. They're dead.
Yep. You know, Ephesians 5:11 tells us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness, but
reprove them.
How do you reprove them if you don't get out there and do what he's doing?
Well, we pray for them, brother. We take them to the Lord in prayer. I mean, I mean, that's what I've heard for so many years. I'm sick of it. I had a lady one time tell me somebody broke into their home and was going to harm her and the children. She fell down on her knees and started praying in tongues. She told me that. And what I guess while they're killing the children, she'd be praying in tongues. I don't understand that kind of reasoning. I really don't. I mean, I was commanded in the Word of God in Timothy, either I provide for the needs of my family or I've denied the faith and worse than infidel.
Amen.
And I am not at all a violent person. But I promise you lay a hand on my wife, I will take you out. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling the truth. Don't make me do it. I want to love you. I want to shake your hand. I want to be friends with you. I want to tell you about Christ. But don't come and be on my wife. Please don't do that. Don't even be on Jerry's wife if I'm there. That won't go over good with me then either.
No. No. I'm not letting anybody get near to put a hand on.
No. That's not being an aggressive individual. That's being a man of God.
You're either.
That's being a man of God.
Yeah.
If they want to attack me, okay, I may get my tail whipped. Go ahead.
When the Bible
attack my wife, I'm going to draw a gun on you.
When the Bible says that if you refuse to defend your family, you're worse than an infidel. That's pretty telling. And that means you need to take up arms and you need to protect yours.
And if we don't do that, an infidel does not go to heaven.
No, you don't.
And I'm part of the kingdom. By the way, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, the effeminate man, that doesn't mean homosexual. It's in there, but that isn't homosexual. It's in the next part, it says, abusers of the filth of mankind. That's homosexual. The effeminate men are the soft and womanish men who act like women. They talk like women. They walk like women. They're soft and effeminate. They don't want to get involved with things. They don't want, you know, they're very, what we're looking for. They don't want to be controversial. They don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. They want to go along, get along. That's not a man. Did Christ go along, get along? He's an example. Christ is an example. I mean, he's a perfect example. Did Christ go along, get along, Jerry?
Yeah, he went along so well that he overturned the tables in the temple and kicked the money changers out. Yeah, that's how well he went along.
And he called the preachers the sons of the devil, didn't he?
He sure did. He sure did.
So don't give me this limp wristed mamby pammy. Well, you got to pray for him. I make me so angry I want to puke.
You know, if they want to lay hands on my family, I'll arrange a face to face, and then they can explain
exactly why
they were wanting to do what they were wanting to do. Because every man is going to come before God. Every person. So you have to make yourself accountable. You know, in the first half, we were talking about this immigration and we're bringing in all these third world country people. They're not adding to the fabric of this nation. They are pulling it string by string, tearing it down. But when you overrun with third world people, you become third world yourself. And I think a lot of the globalists, because they're making money hand over fist. So that's all they care about is money. And I've heard people say that the rich keep score by who's got the most. They could care less what happens to you and me. They are only in it for themselves. Whether this country goes third world or not, they could care less.
That's very true. Well, they want third world. They're easier to control. They want to be the I guess you call them elite of the world. They want to be the ones that rule over us and we're their servants. And you know, we've been talking about Muslims, but now we have Israel. So then that folks, that nation in the Middle East is not Israel. They've lied to you again. If there are a few Jews there, which is a tribe of Judah, perhaps, but that's only one tribe out of 12 tribes. So don't tell me that's Israel. But anyway, I don't get started on that end of it. But now we have Netanyahu paying our pastors. He's invited like 10,000 or 11,000 over there. He's going to pay their way to teach them how to support Israel. And he used the word that they will become not ambassadors, maybe the ambassadors of Israel. So wouldn't that make them a foreign agent when they come back here then if they're going to be ambassadors to Israel?
They should be. They should have to register as a foreign agent.
So, we see the Muslims coming in. At least they have enough courage to stand up and say, we'll kill you if you don't follow it. They've got enough courage to say that. The Zionists come in and overthrow us in a much more subtle way. but they've done it since 1948, basically. And look what they've done to our country. You go to the so-called Israel, asking, if you don't believe me, ask Chuck Baldwin. You go to Israel and step out by yourself away from the touring crowd, those people don't even abuse you.
That's a fact.
So here we sit in America today. I mean, don't worry about it. The TV's still working. I still got a six-pack of beer, Jerry. Don't bother me.
And I got 2 weeks to go to Disney World.
Exactly. It's kind of to celebrate the queers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's go dance in the street with a bunch of Moes.
So, I mean, I know I'm coming across hard and strong, but I really don't mean to sound nasty, but I don't care. I have no time left to hold the hands and to dance around the maypole. Well, I've got to tell the truth. We let our country be destroyed on our watch. I said, mind your watch. My dad's watch also. That generation started back then. And they started with a lot of different ways. It took us over in a socialist form with Social Security and all the other so-called man's benefits. It took us over with the invasion from foreign third world countries that want to rule the world and take over America. They've done it through a so-called nation of Israel, piece by piece. They've done it gradually, incrementally, but they've done it nonetheless.
That's the key right there, Butch. Incrementally. They have gone inch by inch. You know, when the Muslims got to Michigan, they didn't take over right away. They kind of just bided their time. In 1948, when our nation recognized that theocracy over there and overthrew the landowners to set aside a piece of land for the Zionists, inch by inch, we have lost our country. We have lost our church. Because who do you think is, well, I know. Who financed Cyrus Schofield? Rich Jews.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So what did they pay Cyrus Schofield to do? To come out with his annotated notes and Bible version and, well, now we got to bless Israel or we're damned to hell. And that was the first inch. And then it gets into the seminary. And then we got the Vietnam War and we got men that are dodging a draft. And then they see that instead of a calling, this is a profession. Well, now I can make good money doing this and only got to work one day a week.
That's true.
Incrementally. Inch.
And who took out Charlie Kirk?
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk wasn't taken out by a lone kid with a rifle. That wasn't even a rifle. Abraham got along low enough that he wasn't shot with a rifle.
He wasn't shot with a 30-06.
No, he was not. And I know for a fact that he started getting his eyes open about what's going on in Israel. He started to get away from the money powers that once funded his operation. He started realizing what was going on. He started turning his back on him, get away from him. He's no longer with us.
Exactly. You know, I had a beautiful talk with Pastor Baldwin about that. The fact that if you understand who is the world leader in assassinations, they've had lots of practice. They've got target practice with the Palestinians every day. But the logistics involved behind that assassination and the scare that Charlie put in those Zionists. I mean, that's the only reason they took him up to the Hamptons and berated him for a day was to try to scare him back into their camp, and he wouldn't budge. And he had the ear of the youth of America, and they knew that the scam was up, and he was going to have to pay the ultimate price. Then I read that there was a $2 million donation to TPUSA that was rescinded because Charlie wouldn't back off talking about the Jews, and he had Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and rumors of Candace Owens coming back. And well, as soon as he's dead, Erica goes and meets with him, and that $2 million returns. That
makes you wonder about her a little bit.
It sure does. It puts a dark cloud over the entire organization, because now what's the difference between TPUSA and Benny Hinn now?
Mm-hmm. Yep,
they're not a dime's worth of difference because we're beholden to the Zionist money. You know, Tex never took a sponsor for this program, and I haven't either. I won't, because I don't want anybody telling me what I can and can't talk about. And I know
exactly. The
only things that you allow on your program are things that you use, that you actually use. They're not telling you what you can and can't do.
No, if they did, they'd be off in a heartbeat. That's not going to happen. You know, I've lost listeners in the last few months for exposing the Israeli Zionist movement, also for talking about Muslims. I lost interest because of that. I lost interest talking about Mormons in that call and the Catholics. I lost interest because I'm trying to show the truth. But that's okay. That's all right. Jehovah's Witness is another one I've lost interest because of. I can't help it. If I go off the air, I'll go off the air. I'll go off the air telling the truth. I mean, I've been on the radio almost 33 years. If I go off the air tomorrow, I've had a long run. I'm content. You know, so, I have no problem with telling the truth, Jerry. I can't do anything but that. If I do, I have to give account to the ones I've lied to.
I've only been behind the mic, I guess, 7 years now, coming up maybe 8. But if it goes away tomorrow, okay, I didn't expect to take over for Tex in the first place. But
I understand that. I do.
I'm not going to go down. Well, I'm not, number one, I'm not going down with a whimper. I'm going to go down telling the truth and exposing what is going on. I'm going to be a watchman on the wall. I'm going to tell people what I see and try to make as many people aware. And if I make them angry, then I make them think.
That's right.
I'm fine with that.
That's fine. I mean, I always tell people, I either want to make them mad or glad. If they're glad, then they agree and praise God for that. If they're mad at me, at least you're thinking now.
Yeah, prove me wrong.
Exactly.
What was that old, I can't remember the guy's name, but he would sit there at a table with a sign that says, prove me wrong.
Yeah.
That's it. Prove me wrong. If I'm wrong and if I have erred, I want to know.
Absolutely. And I'll apologize.
You bet. And I will dig even deeper because I want to know the truth. I don't want to put anything out on this airwave. I don't want to put it out in my newsletter unless it's the truth. I can live with that. I'm perfectly happy with the truth.
Well, I think you're going to find a lot of fodder in this month's magazine when you get it next month, Jerry. I think you're going to find a lot of things that we discussed today in a lot more detail than that. Articles that are going to maybe show you a few things you didn't know in this month's magazine. No, it won't be this month, it'll be next month. But I put in things there, what concerning the Muslims, the Catholic Church that actually invented the Muslims. I'm going to find that to be true. And the Zionist movement all together in this one magazine.
Go ahead and tell everybody how to get it one more time there, Butch.
All right. You can call us at toll-free number, 800-777-4403. Faith to financial phone. The phone's answered between 9 to 4 Eastern every day but holidays. And if nobody answers, they'll call you back. Give me your email address. We'll glad to send it to you. And or you can go online and email me personally, PastorButch@startmail.com. PastorButch@startmail.com. And say, please put me on the list. We'll do it. All we ask you is please pass it on to your friends. Help us reach all we can as fast as we can. Our nation is everything but going. And folks, it's going down hard. It really is. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt more than we can ever imagine. America's going to suffer more than any nation in history because to whom much is given, much is required. So let me know this. Let me just tell you, it's going to happen. But let's do our best to at least try to open people's eyes before it does.
Amen. Well, Pastor Butch, I want to thank you, brother, for coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy. I always love visiting with you.
It's been a pleasure, brother. It really has. And one of these days, God allows, we got to get together and sit down and break bread together.
Amen to that. I don't know if the girls can handle it, but I think we could.
we'll let them get together and do their thing. But we'll so anyway.
Amen. Well, brother, y'all have a great day, and I will talk to you again soon.
Next year.
Yes, sir. God bless you, buddy.
All right. God bless you, friend.
Okay, that's going to take care of this week's program. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. Pastor Butch and I greatly appreciate that. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.